get our view from the middle, and he's actually back home. You can find his work covering college football, and of course, this time of year, hoops for USA Today online, usatoday.com. Pick up a copy at your local newsstand. On Twitter, it's at George Schroeder. George, it was wonderful seeing you. How are you?
Man, I'm good. It was great to see you, too, and so many other friends of mine in the media and otherwise.
You know,
with the Ducks in the Final Four.
You know, it's amazing. I know to you guys, I'm not saying it's old hat, but you've got a lot of experience. You know, I've been to a Rose Bowl, a couple of Fiesta Bowls, a couple of tournaments. So when I'm at something like this, my eyes are really big. I get like a 12-year-old. And it was just amazing. But, you know, for somebody who does this and makes the rounds, and the fact that you got to the first round and then the Sweet 16 and this, is this about the most you travel over a three-week period all year?
Oh, yeah, it really is, because it's, I had a drive to Tulsa, but, I mean, usually it's three different sets of flights, and it's 5 days, maybe 6 days at each site, and you might be home for 24 hours or 36 hours between them, and, you know, so it's three weeks of travel madness as far as that goes, but it's so much fun that it's, you know, college football has always been the thing that I love the most, which is, you know, why I'm, you know, was really glad to take the college football job at USA Today. But that three-week period in March and, you know, bleeding into April is as much, it's as hectic as anything, in answer to your question. It's as much travel as I do, in answer to your question, but it's as much fun as I have.
Yeah, it's the proverbial labor of love. By the way, I owe you a personal thanks. You introduced me to Chuck Culpepper of the Washington Post. As a child of the 70s, in junior high, I wrote about Watergate for the Schuyler Colfax Press. So Chuck is not only a nice guy, but a great writer. We spoke a bit about, you know, what it's like now to be working at the Washington Post. So, I mean, I know you know him, but, you know, working for that paper this time, I mean, he's a really, really good writer.
Well, he really is. But, you know, Chuck Culpepper, some of your listeners will remember, was a columnist at the Oregonian back around the turn of the 2000s. And so, you know, he's very familiar with Pacific Northwest and, you know, to a certain extent with Eugene as well. And so, but a really good guy, well-traveled, been all over different outlets, and, you know, now is the National Colleges guy for the Washington Post, which, in his case, ends up making him more of still able to sort of be an essayist type of columnist than sort of what we usually think of when we think of National Colleges writers. When you think of sort of the job description that I have,
right,
or some of my colleagues have, it's a little bit different. He's got the freedom to sort of write these wonderful flowing columns and features that are almost essays that are just fantastic, and he does a fantastic job of it.
And I just, like I said, to somebody like me, who's kind of an American history and a newspaper junkie, it was like, that was awesome. 77,000 people, then 76,000 for Monday. You've covered a lot of these games. The trio of games, while perhaps not clinics in great basketball, did you check, you know, as far as the intensity and overall atmosphere, that was pretty unique at a stadium hosting an arena sport.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any problem with intensity at Final Fours, because I don't think you have to have, I don't think venue matters. I do think that the stadium really, really hurts the level of the play. And it doesn't, not necessarily just the shooting, although I do think it hurts that. But also, you know, I just think sort of the play can be choppy. The floor is temporary and raised. And I wonder if some of the slippage that you saw, especially in the title game, especially on the end next to the Gonzaga bench, is due to that. I mean, it's hard to know. I just think it's a different atmosphere, and it's hard to adjust to. But the intensity, I think that's just sort of the more the stakes of the game than it is the actual venue.
Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. So with the North Carolina wins at all, third for Roy Williams, puts him in elite company. Calhoun, Bobby Knight, one more than Dean Smith. But while it's uncomfortable, this academic fraud investigation, from your chair, is that a black cloud? Does it kind of loom? Or with the way the NCAA works, who the heck knows how this plays out?
Well, I don't think we know, but it's a black cloud. It's not going to end up reversing the outcome of this one. But it's a black cloud, and I do think that they're going to get popped when it's all said and done here. And I think we're probably finally in the final few months of this. I think they're going to get popped pretty hard. I think that's pretty apparent based on how the notices of allegations have been revised.
So I was driving to the airport early Tuesday, and a lot of the morning after talk was about the officiating. But when you look and see the teams missed 9 and 11 free throws, shot 34 and 36%, you talked about the arena. Do you lose the right to point at the officials if you lost that game because the numbers were kind of a train wreck?
Well, I guess you do. And, you know, Zdzimek Karnowski, for example, missed all those shots around the rim, and that he never misses. Now, some of that's because he never plays against guys the size of North Carolina. As much as those guys had trouble with him, he had trouble with them. But some of it's just not playing well, not shooting well, missing shots he should have made. And then you have shot after shot that didn't go in, you know, in the from the perimeter too. That said, going back to Karnowski and Zach Collins especially, I think the officiating in the first 7 minutes or so of the second half was so much tighter than it had been in the first half that it completely altered the game. And although they spent the second half of that 7 or 8 minutes seemingly whistling a foul on North Carolina at every other step, the first few minutes were enough to basically get the Gonzaga bigs in serious foul trouble, and it changed the game completely.
Yep.
You got no excuse. You got to adjust the officiating. You got to go win it. But I thought Gonzaga was done a real disservice by the way the officials tightened up with the whistles in the second half and really started blowing them a ton more. Maybe I should say they loosened up. I don't know. But they called a much tighter game all of a sudden. It's like they came out with a whole lot more energy in the second half, like we say of teams. But, you know, it's easy to criticize the officiating. Gonzaga had a shot down the, you know, to win it down the stretch, and Carolina made the plays, and they didn't.
Talking Final Four with George Schroeder, some of the chat is, what does this mean for the other three? As far as, you know, obviously UNC is a regular. The Zags are always in it. Oregon, we know, has gone next level under Coach Altman. South Carolina, who thinks of them as a basketball school? Do you buy that has that big of an impact? Or year to year, the tournament is such a crapshoot. It's really hard to gauge exactly what this will mean for those other three schools.
Well, I don't think it means a ton for Carolina because they already had, right, you know, five previous national titles. It was their 20th Final Four. That, you know, they weren't going to be more of a blue blood by winning the title. They're just still one of the top two or three or four basketball schools in the country. I think it's huge for Gonzaga. I think it potentially could take them to the next level where we see them get to the Final Four multiple times and win it at some point. And, you know, they had every shot to win it this weekend. So I think it's huge for them because it's that next step in the program. You know, the development of this school, this tiny Jesuit school into a basketball power in a small league. And I think it's huge for Oregon too, because, you know, I don't know what happens with the guys who could potentially declare early. You don't know what happens. Maybe two out of the three, maybe all three, who knows? But I think Dana Altman is building something that feels like it can be sustained. Now, you know, Arizona's not going away. UCLA's not going away. Other schools will pop up and down in the Pac-12, but there's no reason why Oregon can't be in the mix a lot. So I think it's got the chance to land recruits that maybe Oregon wouldn't have landed before, because now sort of the proof's in the pudding. The only school that I really don't see it turning them into a school that could get to the Final Four a lot is South Carolina. I think it definitely has potential to make them you know, to elevate that program. I just, you know, I don't see them vying for one seeds after this.
Right.
I think you're still looking at a school that's, you know, maybe they're going to become that school that can get fours and fives instead of being a seven seed. Maybe that's what they could become if they can fully capitalize off this. But, you know, maybe I'm selling them short. I think it means more for Gonzaga and for Oregon than it does for North Carolina on the one end and South Carolina on the other.
Interesting. Along those lines, I like what you wrote that now, of course, Oregon is a basketball school.
Well, I didn't exactly write
no,
that.
No. I was following up in all seriousness. You know, same stadium. They played for the title in football 6 years ago. So your piece was a little more all-encompassing. But while Oregon is still, as far as the passion of the fans, a football school, you spoke to a lot of people. So would the more accurate read that the entire brand is kind of now at a different level in many sports?
Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, is that the success in football and really getting to the title game maybe was the biggest deal. When they did that after the 2010 season, 2011 BCS title game against Auburn in that same stadium, I think it really began to elevate the brand of Oregon across the board, all the different sports. First of all, they now all, and this wasn't necessarily true of all of them before, and I don't know that it was a conscious decision, but virtually every sport, and maybe every sport at Oregon, now plays in uniform day. Virtually every sport now has facilities that sort of, you know, remind you of the kind of the way they go about doing facilities for football. So those sort of recruiting edges are there for the other sports too, and sort of the cool factor that goes along with, you know, that Oregon football had become at that time has sort of attended or attached to those other sports, not just for uniforms and facilities, but certainly for that too. And so I think you saw football lift every other sport. And look, it took good coaching, it took good players, it took all sorts of stuff, no question. And I don't want to sell that short.
But sure.
I think football was a huge piece of sort of extending out the brand to where, is it a football school? Absolutely. Is it a basketball school? No, but it's got a chance to be sort of an every sports school. We didn't talk about, you know, how good softball has been. And they started that, by the way, with the uniforms, but without the stadium and the facility. And now they got the stadium and the facility.
I
realize that's a long, long-winded answer. But I think football really drove the brand higher and higher for all the other sports.
Well, folks, go to usatoday.com, check out the story. Like I said, for Oregon fans, you'll really enjoy it. Wrap with this, some NBA. So Russell Westbrook is now, in essence, half the games he's had a triple-double. I think it's he and James Harden for the MVP. They're in the playoffs, probably a sixth seed. You're living in the state now. Well, what's the buzz? How captivated would you say the fans are in OKC with their team and this unbelievable season Westbrook is cranking out?
Well, they're all excited about what Westbrook has done. And the thing about a triple-double, you know, 41 triple-doubles is going to end up owning the record, I would think. That's all fine and good and great. And, you know, by the way, the deal with the MVP is he's averaging a triple-double,
right,
which doesn't automatically follow that, you know, if you have 41 or 42 triple-doubles, that you actually average a triple-double. So his season has been fantastic. And coming after the departure of he who should not be named to the Warriors, you know, it's been a big deal for the fans. Now, so they've loved watching Russell do that. That said, you know, the team is what it is. It probably is a sixth seed, and that's about as good as they are, and they're not going to get out of the first round of the playoffs probably, and that'll be a huge – I think the fans have already figured it out. They're so much different than they were. Everything is an uphill struggle. But that will be a really, really difficult recognition or realization when they realize, yeah, they're not going to be playing into June. That's not going to be happening anymore with this current roster. And, you know, they are what they are.
They're a fun team to watch, but like you said, it looks like at the end of the day, they're not going to be playing Boston or Cleveland. Well, George, certainly a fun ride for you. I've enjoyed, A, getting to see you, and B, talking to you about all this great stuff. I guess we kind of start thinking about, what do you have, meetings to go to, spring football? What's on the Schroeder agenda?
Well, yeah, there are definitely conference meetings. There's some spring football, you know, some different stories that I've kind of got in the hopper and some that I need to go report, some things like that. And, you know, and then soon enough, it'll be time for, I know this is hard and nobody really wants to hear this, but real soon it's going to be time for media days in July.
All right. I can't go that far ahead, George. I just need to take a moment.
I mean, I do, but I don't. I'm ready for kickoff, but I'm really not ready for kickoff.
I gotcha. USAtoday.com. Check out all he wrote about covering this amazing event at George Schroeder on Twitter. George, always my pleasure. Have a wonderful week and weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right, hey, thank you.
All right, take it easy.